Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We hear the comment at this time of the year. We hear it over and over. Well, it's over, finally. But it isn't over, you know. John thought it was over. He thought Roman oppression was over when Jesus was born. He thought that Jesus was going to muster troops and overthrow the Roman Empire, but Jesus was a disappointment to John, and he didn't do that. He preached the love and the grace of God. The Roman leaders and the religious leaders thought it was over when they crucified Jesus and laid him in a tomb. Well, that's the end of that. But it wasn't the end of that. Some of the apostles thought it was over when they went to the empty tomb and found nothing but the clothes that they had covered Jesus with. They thought it was over. Many people through history have said, well, it's over. That's the end of that. But it isn't over, you see. The story is not only a story of revelation, but it's also a story of empowerment. Did you hear what John wrote? But to all who received him, to all who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. That's exactly what each one of you is here this morning. You're a child of God. Think about it. If we accept God's gift of love and grace through Jesus Christ, we become like Christ. The face of Christ shines through us. That's what it means to be a child of God. If we become children of God, we assume a tremendous responsibility, and we also receive a wonderful gift that we can share. Because when we accept this gift of divinity, we accept the responsibility of being God's light to the world and God's touch in the world. Because, beloved, you see, God's love and grace is all around us. If we're in tune with those we meet, we'll see the face of Christ in them. One of the most chilling pictures of the 9/11 tragedy was a candid shot of people running out of the World Trade Center while grim-faced firemen in full gear were running into the World Trade Center. One woman says that as she was running out of the building, she turned and looked at a fireman going up the stairs, and he turned and looked at her. And she said, in that moment of eye contact, his face was transformed into the face of Christ. It was a transforming moment I will never forget, she said. It happens all the time. We don't live in a God-forsaken world. In the play Green Pastures by Mark Connolly, there's a moving and memorable scene where God is pacing back and forth, back and forth, looking over the parapets of heaven, trying to decide what to do with this sinful world that he had created. And Gabriel walks in with his horn under his arm, and he notices God's dilemma, and he says, Lord, is it time to blow the trumpet? And the Lord said, no, not yet, not yet. Don't touch the trumpet. But he continues to worry, and Gabriel asks the Lord again what he plans to do. Will you send somebody to tend to the situation? And he said, you have a Moses or David up here, and you have Elijah and Jeremiah, and you have a whole slew of prophets that you could send down. And without looking back at Gabriel, God says, no, I'm not going to send anyone. I'm going to go myself. And so he did. And so God shines in each one of us. As we go through the Christmas season, and as we go through 2014, God shines in our faces, and he shines in the faces of others. One of my favorite Christmas stories is the true account that was told by a medical missionary, Ruth Kilborn. She tells of a young Korean woman who was about to give birth on a cold Christmas night during the Korean conflict. And because the labor pains had started to come, she was determined to walk through the snow toward the home of the missionary, whom she knew would help her. But she couldn't make it. As she neared the bridge, her birth pains became so severe that she crawled under the bridge. And there, under its trestle, she gave birth to a perfect baby boy. And having nothing except the heavy clothes she was wearing, the young woman removed them and wrapped her tiny son in a cocoon. And then, finding a discarded piece of gunny sack, she pulled it over herself and lay exhausted in the snow. The next morning, the missionary got into her Jeep to take a Christmas basket to a needy family. And she had just crossed the bridge when her Jeep sputtered and died, and she was out of gas. And so she walked across the bridge going back to the compound, and she heard a faint cry below the bridge. And crawling under the bridge to investigate, she found this tiny baby, warm but hungry. Beside him was his lovely young mother, frozen to death. The missionary took the baby home and raised him. And all through the year, he would ask her to tell him the story again of his mother and of his birth. And on Christmas Day, on his 12th birthday, he asked the missionary to take him to his mother's grave. And so she did. And he asked her to wait a distance while he went to pray. And she did. Standing at the grave, he bowed his head, began to weep. And the missionary watched in astonishment as he began to take off his clothing and lay it on the grave. It was bitterly cold, and she thought to herself, he's going to freeze to death. But the young boy stripped himself of every piece of clothing and placed the clothes on the grave, and he knelt in the snow. And as the missionary stepped toward him to help him dress again, she heard him cry out to the mother he never knew, "Were you colder than this for me, my mother?" Then he broke down and wept bitterly, because deep down he knew that she was Christ's incarnation. Removing his royal clothes and becoming cold and coming into this world. And through 2014, look for Christ's incarnation in others. Look into the face of others. Look for God's grace and God's love, because it's not over. Amen.